We've arrived in that land. Here's one of the things I've learned over the last couple of weeks, because for one reason or another, we have not had book picks for a while. We were on the road one Tuesday. We were, Matt did join us in that broadcast. And then we had some vacationing booksellers, and we had people away. And we got a lot of letters from people who said, hopefully you haven't abandoned book picks. Well, goodness no, we haven't abandoned book picks. And we're thrilled to be back and doing that again and get back into our regular schedule. And not only that, but we have a newbie with us. So that's exciting, too. James Conrad is of the Golden Notebook, and he's been keeping track of what literary pursuits are worth our time and money, and is here to give us an update. He's the co-owner of the Golden Notebook bookstore in Woodstock, and it's a great pleasure to welcome him to the program. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Joe. I'm glad to be here.
Very nice to have you here. So where would you like to begin?
Well, it's kind of a big day for all the members of Joan Didion Nation. It's the publication date of her biography, Joan Didion, A Biography by Tracy Dougherty. I think we all know Joan has not been putting out much lately, I should say Ms. Didion, but this is an unauthorized biography. She didn't approve this, but it's quite well-resourced with amazing, letters and all of her work, and everything in her life has basically been autobiographical. So she, has a big amount of stuff to choose from to put this together. I think you kind of consider Joan Didion to be a bit of a literary rock star.
Absolutely.
And, it's hard to even come up with contemporary comparisons of people who draw as much, attention and excitement. When this galley came into my hand about 3 months ago, I posted a picture of it on Facebook, and I had about 12 people, all begging for it in, 5 minutes. So
yeah.
It's a very exciting day for Joan Didion.
This is the last love song by Tracy Dougherty, a biography of Joan Didion, and it's out today.
Yes.
Excellent.
The next book is a novel. It's getting a lot of attention right now. It's called Eileen by Otessa Moshfe. I think I'm saying that last name right. It's a little hard to say, but Moshfe. And it's kind of for people who might like a darker version of Gone Girl or Girl on a Train. And when I say darker, I mean it's a lot grittier and a lot darker. Almost reminded me of James M. Cain and kind of its tackling of, characters that aren't exactly, the most, positive heroes. It's kind of an anti-hero type of person. It takes place in 1964, and it's about a woman who has to go home to take care of her alcoholic father, and she's living in this desolate house and works at a prison for boys, of all things, and it takes place at Christmas, although you have no idea it's Christmas because it's so depressing. This is kind of sounding like not really the book you want to pick up and give to your, your mother, but it's definitely a really great read because it's told from the point of view from present day, and you're just told there's a big, big thing that happens, and you're held to the very end to find out what it is. So it has that kind of hook, Gone Girl, Girl on a Train, etc., that you kind of keep reading.
It is Eileen by Otessa Moshfe?
Moshfe, I want to say. Should have tried to Google how to spell her name
or how to say her name.
But anyways, it's a beautiful name. From the 60s, we could move to the 70s. The sassy 70s, Purgatory and Paradise, Suburbia and the City. It's a book of photographs by Merle Meisler. She's a wonderful photographer. Basically, Merle's story is that her father, with the GI Bill, got a house in Massapequa, Long Island. And she grew up in Long Island and into Lower Manhattan in the 70s, taking amazing photographs. And it kind of captures, you can kind of think about Long Island and Lower Manhattan as kind of ground zero of the 70s, if you really want to think of a good place to go to look at the 70s.
Right.
What's amazing about her photographs is that they look so modern. They don't look like you think of the 70s as something that's so dated. And possibly it's because styles have so repeated themselves so many times since the 70s that things don't even look outdated anymore. But she just has a photography style that's very current in terms of how it's hard to explain on radio. Obviously, it's a book of photographs. But one reason we're talking about her is because we are going to have her at our store. She lives near the Woodstock area.
Yep.
And so on September 4th, she will be at the Woodstock Center of Photography, and we will be having an event with her.
It is Merle Meisler, Purgatory and Paradise, the Sassy 70s, Suburbia and the City. And that event is on September 4th, and you can find out more information by going to goldennotebook.com.
I'm going to move to children. I'm trying to cover a variety of genres, which are evident of our store. A Celebration of the Seasons, Goodnight Songs by Margaret Weis Brown. You probably know Margaret Weis Brown because she's the author of Goodnight Moon and Runaway Bunny, right. Two of the most famous books ever. Yeah. About 40 years after her death, they found a big trunk of poems and songs of hers that had never been published. They published most of them. I guess she's kind of like the Harper Lee of children's books here. Anyways, they published most of them. But they then put together this wonderful collection called A Celebration of the Seasons, which basically they had very famous illustrators illustrate each of these poems and songs. And what I love the most about a children's book is a children's book that an adult can actually read and enjoy because it's just so either creative or so beautifully done, and this is one of those books. You actually will recognize a lot of the illustrators just from the type of their work, and then you can go to the back and look up their biography and be like, oh, yes, they did all those New Yorker covers, etc.
Oh, sure.
It also comes with a CD, so you can, with your children, have the option to read, to sing, to, you know, or just sit alone and read it yourself. So it's a wonderful book.
Okay, so the stories are by Margaret Weis Brown. The illustrations are done by 12 award-winning picture book artists. And then there is a CD as well. So
yes.
Beautiful stuff. Goodnight Songs, A Celebration of the Seasons. Next up.
Getting a little older for our young adults, which I'm happy to say are a major buying force in our store and that young adults are still reading very well. You probably know the book Wonder that came out in 2012. It was a very famous young adult book about a boy with a cleft chin. Basically, the author, R.J. Palacio, was with her three-year-old who saw a girl with birth defects. And the three-year-old had a lot of trauma seeing this and was sort of scared and all
sure.
that. Yeah. And this kind of inspired her to be like, oh, did I handle that situation right with how to, you know, let him know that that's nothing to be afraid of? And you all know the song Wonder by Natalie Merchant.
Right.
And so she was inspired to write the book Wonder, which sold 2 million copies. This is the follow-up, Augie and Me. She refuses to do a sequel, which is interesting. But what she did was she took three of the main characters from Wonder, the bully, his best friend, and she basically gives their backstories as a way to kind of give you more for this story and to kind of help explain to children how interesting it is to, you know, deal with people who are different.
Augie and Me, Three Wonder Stories. That looks great. Good stuff. YA.
Don't want to spend a lot of time on this because you kind of did it yesterday. But David Orr's The Road Not Taken.
Isn't this great, though?
I loved this, and that's why I was gonna I was gonna kill it. But then I thought, oh, I just got to give it one more plug.
The one thing I didn't say there's a lot, but the one thing I wanted to say that I didn't say to him is that not only is it a great book, but you know that whole can't judge a book by its cover. Blah, it's a beautifully packaged.
It's a gorgeous book.
You
just want to pick this up and go to the counter before you even do anything else.
That's right. It's just it's so beautifully done.
The book kind of shows the two things. There's two poems. You know, it's like it's not just, you know, one version of the poem. There's two different versions of it.
It's The Road Not Taken, for those who perhaps missed yesterday, The Road Not Taken, Finding America.
Finding America.
In the poem that everyone loves and almost everyone gets wrong. And this is Robert Frost, of course. And David Orr, who is the New York Times Book Review poetry guy, has put this book together. And it's really beautiful.
Beautiful. And it's such an important book because it kind of brings to rest the whole thing that, okay, yes, we may have gotten that poem wrong. It may not be about, you know, how we're all these different individuals. But he also says it might be about that. And I, as somebody who's a big appreciation of poetry, I just want to say that I love the idea how a poem can eventually have its own life outside of the poet's hands even.
Absolutely. Gorgeous stuff. David Orr is The Road Not Taken, and the book is out and absolutely beautiful.
We also at our store have a lot of outdoor enthusiasts, and we sell tons of travel hiking guides all summer long. So I brought in How to Stay Alive in the Woods by Bradford Anger. This book is pretty awesome because it kind of is broken up into how to basically survive if you ever get lost in the woods. It's broken up into sustenance, warmth, orientation, and safety. And basically, obviously in the Catskills, you might not get that lost in the woods, and you might not need to actually survive for days, but I think a lot of our, you know, adventurers like to think of themselves as wanting to be in that position. And there's just great stuff in here, from everything from how to make snowshoes in an emergency to, you know, how to a wonderful edible food guide, like what are the plants you can eat.
you need to know that stuff.
I think so.
Yeah.
And I think it's also for people who like to imagine themselves in their own backyards, like, you know, how would I survive if I could? And it just has great, you know, like, you know, I think there are,
I've never wanted to imagine that, but I understand.
I haven't personally either, but I do know people who like to think about that, that they could be like an explorer lost out there.
I mean, only during a panic attack, perhaps, but it's really interesting, the as you said, sustenance, warmth, orientation, which is a big one, mm-hmm. know where you are, and safety. How to Stay Alive in the Woods, A Complete Guide to Food, Shelter, and Self-Preservation Anywhere, and a beautiful book, too. Great.
Great gift for your adventure and your family.
Yep. Good stuff.
Going on from a little darker from that again, we go to Life After Nuclear War, Nagasaki, by Susan Southard. Nagasaki is kind of the not talked about part of the whole end of World War II. Of course, it's talked about, but Hiroshima is sort of the one that gets all the talk. And this is actually a great book because it's not just the basic history of the bombing of Nagasaki. It actually follows five teenagers at the time through their life and goes all the way through to present day. And they become activists in the movement on anti-nuclear war. They suffer the effects of the radiation for their entire lives. It's an incredibly moving book and beautifully written. She spent a long time working on this, and I just have to put it forward because I just loved it.
Nagasaki, Life After Nuclear War by Susan Southard. Beautiful book.
And do we have time?
We do. We have about two more minutes.
Okay,
so
right. Well, let's just quickly, on the radiation subject, this is a reissuing. Radioactive by Marie it's about Marie and Pierre Curie, and it's by Lauren Redness. It's a graphic book. I wanted to get a graphic book in here. It was published first 5 years ago, and I think Jackie actually even did this on the show, but now it's been reissued in paper. And it's a graphic book that includes everything from photographs, x-rays, everything telling the story of Marie Curie and the discovery of radiation, of course, and its long-term effects. She even invented, the author, Redness, actually even invented her own typeface for it, which is based on manuscript pages of the New York City Library. It's a wonderful book. In fact, there's even a little part of it that glows in the dark if you put it in the dark.
Oh, neat.
Yeah.
Well, very cool.
It's a really great way of learning the story of, you know, a very, very interesting topic of, you know, how radiation was, you know, brought into our lives in its negative way, but yet it had all its positives of x-rays, etc.
Radioactive is the name of the book. Marie and Pierre Curie by Lauren Rednissa.
Finally, I just wanted to talk about one thing, which is kind of a funny thing, which is the adult coloring book craze.
Yes.
Have you discussed this at all yet?
We have not discussed this.
Well, it's coming our way. And basically what happened was last spring, a couple of adult coloring books came out.
Yeah.
And they sold out across the world in about a month. And then we spent our entire summer having people asking for them. Well, now all the publishers have gotten together, and they are all coming out with dozens and dozens of adult coloring books this fall. It's anti-stress. It's also a way for people to kind of explore a creative and artistic side they probably never even thought of. And yet, whether you color within the lines or outside of the lines is kind of up to you. But it's really going to be a big thing this fall, and we're clearing shelf space for it. I had like four others I was going to bring in today, but actually a woman bought them all for me yesterday, so I couldn't even bring them. And I literally said, I can't even bring these into the
radio.
Well,
the one
now.
I had gotten was, there was a one of Paris and one of New York.
Yep. There's also now vintage, Zen coloring, mandalas, you know, just Victorian wallpaper, you know, just amazing ones. They're really intricate and beautiful.
This one
I brought is the Mindfulness Coloring Book, Anti-Stress Art Therapy for Busy People by Emma Ferranans. And it's kind of the original. It's also a very small and simple one that might be a good way to get started in this and to see if you have any interest in it. Because now the ones that are coming out are big, elaborate.
Yes, yeah. Get your start in coloring.
This might be to put your toe in the water and see what you think and, you know, give it a shot.
Color your way to peace and calm. What's wrong with that, I say?
Exactly.
Well, for more information on the Golden Notebook and Woodstock and the great work they do, you can visit their website, goldennotebook.com, or visit them at 29 Tinker Street in Woodstock. James Conrad is first time on the air, and he brought the train in on time. So there we go. James, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.